everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Onigiri & Co. podcast. Happy New Year, it's finally 2023, and for the first episode of this year, I am super happy to welcome my friend from California, Konasti FPV.
Hey, how's it going? How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good.
It's good to see you. I feel like I haven't seen you in videos for years now. I mean, talking to you through a video in years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while, yes. Well, thanks for coming for the first episode of this year. I know you're busy, and I know, you know, we've been struggling a bit to find a date. You have a family. You have lots of work. But for everybody who might not know you, even though I think people know you through many things, through your YouTube and your podcast, mm-hmm. etc. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Eric. I go by Konasti because my last name kind of is a little more difficult to say. So I've always had that nickname of Konasti. And I fly little toy drones.
Yes, that's why you're here on this podcast. You've been flying for years now.
Yeah, I've been flying for a really long time.
Yes, and I used
definitely,
to...
Definitely hit those 10,000 hours for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So the reason I wanted you on the podcast is because actually you've been one of the first people I've seen on YouTube doing FPV. The first person that I followed was Umagod, who's mm-hmm. your friend as well. And then me and my ex-partner, we discovered you through your vlogging, because at the time you were doing every day, almost one vlog a day. Is that correct? Like if we look back in 2015.
So, yeah, I was doing a lot. I was putting in some time on on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which in retrospect was probably the wrong time. If I did that much now, mm-hmm. I probably would have done way better, like performance-wise on YouTube
than I did then.
It wasn't really discoverable back then in a sense. Like the community wasn't as big and no one really like paid attention to FPV like they do now. Like now it's like... You see so many new guys blowing up because it's a lot more discoverable. Like people are looking up like FPV and stuff now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
back then, nobody really. If you were looking it up, you were like a small like niche of like you found out about FPV and you were looking it up. It wasn't something people just like, you know, looked up.
Yes, that's true. There was a little niche of nerds like me and other people, but it's true. Like now it's very different. Instagram has taken over the game as well, probably as much as mm-hmm. YouTube. Do you think there's some benefit, though, that you've started that early that you can see these days?
I mean, just in general, starting that early, not even from like the social side of it, but just a knowledge point. Of like just being around it so long. I mean, now everybody gets like a ready to fly, right? Like if they're getting into it, they're getting like anything from an iFlight to a DJI Avata and it's just ready to fly and they don't know what is going on with it if something happens.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, is there a firmware up? I need an update or something, you know, that'll fix everything. Like, like for me it's like I could hear it. I could hear if something's wrong with the drone and know what that is just off of sound alone, you know.
So do you think that makes a big difference on the professional scene of the FPV side of things?
Professional like commercially, like doing
commercially?
I don't know, that's like a weird like scene too. I've kind of been involved with, sorry, my neighbors are banging on something. I don't know if that's showing up on the mic or not, but I could hear it through here. commercially is kind of weird still. Like, it's getting a little more competitive. Like everybody wants to get into it now, commercially. And, it's like, you know, people have seen I guess they can make some decent money doing it and everybody wants to do it. Kind of like everything, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how it goes. I mean, that's how it kind of went with like YouTube also, right? I mean, people are like, oh, I can make money doing this and get sponsors and stuff and whatever. So they all jump on board and, you know, after a while, most of them disappear anyways. And they find out how hard it is, basically. People find out how hard like the grind is and And I think on the commercial side, it's kind of like that too. It's like people think like that, have that mentality of like if you build it, kind of they will come type of thing. So they're like, if I get all the gear, I'll get all the jobs. But that doesn't really like correspond well with each other, because even if you get the gear and you get the job, but you do a shitty job, then you probably won't get a call back for another job. Talk spreads quick in this like industry. So it's not really big. It's not like the people that are doing actual like, you know, jobs, like really like the bigger commercial jobs and stuff. We all know each other. We all know who's on whose job and what's everyone's doing. So
And everything that is video or even photography related, because people now, even like I experience it, you know, on the ground, because it's my job now as well to do videos and photos on ground. But people think because they have iPhone 13, you know, everybody's a photographer now. And I feel like it's a bit the same with the DJI Avatar. You buy one and you think you're a FPV pilot and you can go and do the next Red Notice on Netflix.
I mean, that's how it was like with the early on when the Phantoms came out, right? When the Phantoms came out, everybody became like a real estate photographer or something on that lines to like make money. Everyone was all of a sudden a drone pilot for like real estate. And I don't know. It just is what it is, I guess.
Yes, it is what it is.
It's like everywhere, like you said, even like photography, everything. It's like it's everywhere. It's just that it's like creeped into the drone industry now a little like harder than before, I think.
We have many tools now as well. Like you have a post-process stabilization, either with GoPro or even like open firmware ones.
So, Gyroflow, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of tools to like make people look really good. So
so do you think, how can I say, with all these tools, is there less difference now between what we used to consider someone skilled on the sticks and someone quite average?
I mean, are you talking about commercial wise still?
Maybe both, because you know sometimes we can see stuff on Instagram that people seem to film for free.
I mean, the thing is like it comes down to, so like when we were doing everything, we just cared about freestyle flying. Like I mean, we could care less about like, you know, chasing cars and drifting and all this stuff, and that's like, it's what everybody does now. We were like into diving buildings and flipping around through trees and going to abandoned spots if we could find them and do, you know what I mean? Or like just trying to fly up mountains that like until we were at that peak of losing range and stuff like that. Like that's all we cared about in the beginning, and that's all FPV was. That was, you were posting all your videos of that type of stuff. Now it's like I feel like you hardly see any of that stuff anymore. Now it's like, oh, I gotta get like something. Like I gotta get a sunset shot of like boats chasing each other or snowboarding clips or like drifting or something. You know what I mean? It's like it's kind of on that end, and with so many people just like focusing on that, I could definitely tell it's like there is a gap of guys that know how to frame a shot and then people that don't know how to frame a shot. So there's guys that get like, say, let's just use drifting for example, because you see a lot of it. Most of it, it's a guy just chasing cars around. I mean, cool. You're doing just chase footage. I mean, a guy with a big ass selfie stick could stick a GoPro out of the car behind him and do the same thing. So it's like, okay. And I see a lot of that. A lot of it's just straight behind the car, three quarter shot chasing. And that doesn't take a lot of skill. That just is like keeping up with the car, basically. And then you see guys like say Steel or Johnny, when they all of a sudden they'll throw down a clip of like drifting and you're like, oh, okay. These guys could like play around the whole car, multiple cars, fall into a scene perfectly. Like it's a lot different, you know. There's a reason they get those shots that they get. Because they have that skill. So there, I think there is still a big skill gap. But it's like, you know, you could for somebody that doesn't really know much about FPV or anything, you could play them off in the beginning as like, yeah, I could film FPV, like drone chase stuff, but it's like, you know, they're going to just see three quarter shots. They're going to sift through footage of that for however long. And, eventually they're going to go, okay, maybe we should spend a little more money and get a pro next time to film. So.
Yeah, maybe pros have the ability of giving variations in the type of shots they do. Like they can come from above and dive and then stop right behind the car and then go around it, not having just the back of it, you know.
And then, but it, like it's almost like they anticipate better of what the actual scene is going to be doing, so they could put themselves in the right spot at the right time.
Yes, it's also
get it, so.
the ability of putting the drone at the right spot at the right time, like cause that's the skill itself as well.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. So it's like, that's what I'm saying. If you're just chasing, like, you know, you don't really have to put yourself at the right spot. You're just kind of like, I'm just gonna chase this car and just keep it, you know, in the shot as long as possible. But if you know and you can anticipate certain things, then yeah, I mean it's like you're great photographers. I mean, they put themselves in the right spot at the right time to get a shot.
Yeah.
And that's why they become great photographers.
Yes.
Because of that reason, you know. They have the skill. Everyone could have the same skill they do of, like, setting the camera up to the right shutter speed and everything. Like, that only goes so far in a camera. Like, you get all your settings straight.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the eye for it and setting yourself up in that right spot at the right time, and that's the difference between a normal photo and an above average photo. So.
Yeah, knowing the moment and there's so much you can do yourself about the composition and the settings, but then you also have to understand everything around it. That's true.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, like, oh, I got all my settings right. Okay, rule of thirds, I'm going to put them in my subject in the bottom right corner or something and whatever it is, like, you know, all these basics, but then it's like, you know, if you find a good angle where there's like some foreground, you get this right in the shot, you have an eye for something, and then that little bit of magic happens. People go like, wow, you know. It's basically how you set yourself up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that only works, like you said, for maybe what we used to call cinematic shot, even though, you know, it's, I don't know what you call them, but the pretty ones. But
everything's all cinematic now. It's all anyone does is cinematic shots now.
Do you miss freestyle? I still do freestyle.
No, I just, like, I am going to go fly some freestyle stuff here a little bit later now that it's not raining.
Yes, that's cool.
That's still my favorite. Still just doing little low, flying really low mountain pass type of stuff like I always used to do, like go up in the hills around here and just fly as fast as I can through whatever. I still like doing that. Flying away to where, like, I can no longer hear the drone and I'm just flying.
Yeah. So. I am not brave enough to do long range, but I really like freestyle still. And I just met someone on Instagram who lives like 30 minutes from me and said, oh my god, I have a spot, you should come. And I'm like, oh my god, when I went there, it's just trees and everything.
Yeah,
I love
it's fun.
But then spot. I got stuck in trees, and you don't get that when you try to fly cinematic.
No.
Me, I just got stuck in a tree.
people these days don't know anything about getting stuck in trees and and buying like 50-foot painter's poles, and
that's what I did last
whatever
week.
Whatever you have to, like, try and get it out of there.
Yeah. And poke it. So actually, can I ask, out of curiosity, what do you use at the moment for your freestyle?
Freestyle. I am using what's the newest TBS source frame? Source 5 or something?
You can't ask me this. I'm still flying like Keys V2. So
I think it's like Source 1 V5 or something, whatever the newest one is.
Okay.
I just use that with, I still fly with 6-inch arms. I still like the wider stance of things. I like having a versatile drone of, like, I think it all comes from actually what I do and, like, where I live and everything, like my style of flying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if I just flew somewhere where, like, if I went out to fly, I was always office parks. then I probably would just stick to 5-inch wine.
Yeah.
Like 5-inch frames. But the fact that it's like, I could like cruise like a hillside here and then dive into an office park area. It's like, I kind of want that really stable, like cruising 6-inch frame. And then, I mean, it's only an extra, it's not like a lot of like width added to the frame, I don't think.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that going said, I could fly 5-inch props then, and I could fly 5.5, I could fly 6-inch props.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could kind of like pick and choose like how my characteristics I want to fly. So it's that frame. I have a mix between like FetTech rigs and Betaflight rigs, just depending. Right now I'm messing with the Betaflight stuff because I want to figure out like out that return to home that they have now. You know, like it'll return to home and land now though.
Yeah.
Like it actually like will freaking land. It won't just like dive bomb into the ground. Yeah, so I want to just do some stuff with that. Just in case lose video, whatever, I could just flip a switch and have it come back.
Yeah.
And then I have new motors that I've been flying. So those will be released here probably in the next like week or two.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But I've been flying those for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the motors that are on there right now. And that's about it. I mean, nothing really has changed. I mean, I run DJI, I run digital.
Yeah.
Okay. Just because like I use it so much for work.
Yes.
I might as well just use it all the time and just be used to it.
Yeah, totally.
If I still like analog, like if it's my choice, just because of the latency and everything and all that, I like analog. But since I have to fly digital so much, I don't want to be bouncing around from like analog to digital.
Yeah.
I just want to like stick with digital because then I won't know any difference.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes.
Because
yeah.
I could totally tell a difference if I go from like digital to analog, then analog back to digital. I notice it. So I don't want to like my brain to.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to like, you know, only one item on the menu. Keep it simple. It's the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
My brain doesn't know any different. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Because I tried DJI like a year and a half ago and. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's not bad because I had that on a little mini Apex. And then somehow I was like, oh, I want to fly, you know, 5-inch again today. And all I had was analog and I went back on that. And I'm like, oh, my God, I love it. So,
yeah,
I dropped DJI after that, you know. So
just a little bit of like response time of like the latency is like,
yeah,
I don't know, just notice it.
Yeah. But, it's, yeah.
I mean, image quality on digital is way better.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I don't know.
Yeah.
Analog. I feel like if you've been flying analog for so long, you could still see stuff.
Yeah, I've always said I think I see enough on analog, you know, that
HD. It has to be like a really, like, super ghost branch or something to not see it.
Yeah, like just yesterday, the person I was flying with, he flies a 7-inch freestyle. So, you know, that's why when you say you fly 6-inch, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense because you can also do freestyle with 7-inch. And he went out of a power loop and just like cut the top of a tree and it was really close for him to get stuck in it. And he said, I should invest in HD. I'm like, I don't think HD would make you avoid the tree. It was the angle you came at, you know. It's not like because you're on analog.
Yeah. That wasn't analog's fault for sure. There's a little more to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, digital's good. I like where digital's at now.
Yeah, well, it's pleasant. Yeah. Have you only tried DJI? Because I've only tried DJI, but I know.
Yeah, I only mess with DJI because in the production world of things, we have to use that feed a lot, especially in the beginning. We would have to like plumb that digital feed out to like a video village for, you know, directors and stuff to see the image. So that was really the only option was to run DJI.
Yeah.
So, and it pretty much still is, except now it's like, for the most part, we're running, the DJI like video transmitter link, like the actual, like the video link. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It's like the,
not too sure.
So we could run the video out from the Komodo to the actual, like, it's video transmitter from their, like the big video transmitter, the SDI out of the Komodo into that one. And then that's the wireless video to the the video monitor there, the receiver. And we just used that so that way they could actually see like what the camera's filming, like the film camera's getting, not our witness cam, like on the drone.
Okay, yeah, because so. There's a bit difference. It's a bit different. Actually, yeah. I have a question for you. So you know how, for example, the Komodo, where it's gonna sit on a drone, obviously your FPV camera is not seeing exactly the center of it. Is not the center of the Komodo. You know, like the so when you frame something commercially speaking, how do you know to frame for what the Komodo is actually seeing and not what you see in the goggles?
Kind of the same way we've always just done the GoPros. I mean,
yeah,
it's above the camera, so you know it's going to be sitting a little higher of frame.
Yeah.
So you adjust the tilt kind of accordingly, like to match everything up.
Okay.
You know, you're going to match up both your cameras, like the Komodo lens and then the you know, your FPV cam lens.
Yeah.
And then you just know, like, it's above it, like, a bit, so...
Okay, but it's not a huge difference in like
it's not distance. A huge difference, yeah.
Okay, all right. I was wondering if with a bigger camera than a GoPro, it was making a big difference in the offset, you know? But
yeah, no, it's not too bad. And then, yeah, I mean, you could always run playback and see if you need to change some things up and whatnot if you have to. But, I mean, for the most part, it's like once you're just used to it, you're used to it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that makes sense. So how much commercial do you do, if I can ask, in your life now these days?
How much?
Yeah, in terms of...
everything. Like work?
Yeah? Yeah, for work.
Yeah, yeah, that's all I'm doing.
Wow.
I don't do anything else anymore, like at all. I just do commercial drone work.
Wow, okay.
So outside it's like commercial drone work and ethics. That's it.
Damn. That's I mean, I find it amazing.
just straight drone life now.
Nice. So, just on your own, or do you have collaboration with people who are in the industry?
So I still work independently. I don't have a contract with a production company.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to work independently. I mean, there's been options to get, you know, work with them, but the two production companies I'm basically doing stuff with, they don't mind me working independently, which is fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do a lot of work for Kevin LaRosa.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that did all Top Gun and everything.
Oh yeah.
Like the aerial DP for that.
Yeah.
I do a lot of work with him, and everything for the most part, it's a lot of independent work still too. So.
Wow.
Do a lot with like stay busy with like Icon Motorsports, Red Bull, Sony Pictures, CBS, it's like the like main few, I guess, that I do stuff with, and then like, you know, whatever comes through that from people I'm working with all the time there, they also work other jobs and they bring me in from the previous jobs I've worked with them, so it just stays ongoing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's definitely like a who you know thing always, you know? So you work with certain directors, DPs, whatever, and you do a good job and you work well together and everything. And then if they go and work another job, then most likely they're going to bring you with them always, like to all those jobs and stuff too, whether it's anything from a car commercial to a TV show to like a movie or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So
is that why you went to London as well, or was that something different?
Yeah, London's like a Netflix show that me and Tommy were doing some work on right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually heading his way back over there to work on it tomorrow.
Mm.
He's heading over there. I had some previous clients that have, like, I have a lot of work booked up already, so, like, the timing didn't work. So, I got some stuff I got to do here, like some jobs that are...
Which is a nice feeling to have jobs booked ahead.
yeah, exactly. So,
is it, how can I say, you know, because that's the goal of, I guess, a lot of people in FPV, like they would love to fly, you know, for a living. Do you think it's what you want at the moment, exactly what you want and what you were thinking the job would be like?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's definitely... it is what the job would be like for sure. I mean, it's exactly what you think it would be.
Yeah.
If you know anything about like production work, it is definitely what it is. I mean, you go in there, it's 12-hour days, usually 10 to 12-hour days.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like all night, all day, whatever it is. And yeah, you just fly when they need you. And you have to get a shot. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It's not like you're just going in there and you're like, oh, hey, like I'm an FPV pilot. Everybody, hey, look at me. Like,
yeah.
Like, you're not really anybody.
Yeah.
You're just another camera on set.
Yeah.
And when it's your time to go, you better be able to have that thing ready and going. So it is what I would imagine it to be,
mm-hmm.
Which I like. I like those kind of situations of like having to be like on it, like when you're supposed to be on it and perform and make people happy and all that with what you could do. Cause then you get to like show your ability. Right. And everything. So I do like that. Only thing is, like I said, it's just, there's those nuances of everybody trying to do it now and getting into it. And it's kind of like starting to it seems weird, but it kind of messes up our industry a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you got guys that come in that charge next to nothing because they just want their foot in the door. And don't get me wrong, I don't blame them. You got to get in somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give, like, if you're on a pretty good job and you give a director, someone a bad taste about FPV, they don't look at it as, like, exactly you. They look at it as FPV in a whole and go, well, maybe we shouldn't use these type of shots then.
Yeah.
Or something. And then they're like, we probably won't do FPV on our next film or our next this or, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then it's like, you know, next time you work with somebody, if he's like really pissy about FPV, it could be because of a previous job or something he dealt with. So
yeah.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah. It sounds like a challenge. And I was wondering if when you work for people, do they have a good grasp of what the drone can and cannot do? Do you sometimes have to explain the limits?
Yeah, you do have to do some explaining. But for the most part now, like, they're all pretty much like,
yeah,
they've worked with it or seen it work at some point.
Yeah.
So they kind of know what it could do. The part that like still gets them confused is like, oh, I want a top down shot. And you're like, this is FPV. It doesn't do a top down.
Yeah.
That's like an Inspire or like Heavy Lift or something. Oh, okay.
Yes.
So, or like vice versa. You know, you get a guy, like you're flying Inspire or something. They're like, oh, we want to do this. And you're like, that's kind of like an FPV shot. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I mean, we're flying FPV gimbals now. So,
mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we're flying those rigs. I'm sure you've seen those on Instagram or whatever. It's, you know, we got like RS3 gimbals on there with a Komodo and everything, the whole setup. And,
yeah,
you know, we could fly that top or bottom mount.
Yeah.
So we're flying rigs like that now. So there's, you know, different options. But yeah, those don't exactly fly great.
Yeah. Okay.
Still hard mounting a Komodo to an like a just an FPV drone. It flies like a 5-inch drone.
Wow.
But like once you put those gimbals on and everything, then it's kind of like,
yeah,
you know, you have to work within the ability of the gimbal also, mm-hmm. because if you do too sharp of a turn or whatnot, the motors can't really handle that type of maneuver and
yes, yeah,
freaks out the gimbal and that type of stuff. So
yeah, I can imagine, for having worked with a Ronin in the past, out of the window of a car,
mm-hmm.
just the wind that was coming out at like, sorry, I'm talking about kilometers an hour, 80, so I don't know how it is in miles per hour. It's not much. And the thing would freak out a bit, so I'm like, oh my God, you're putting this on these drones and
yeah,
the gimbal is just to handle.
Yeah, it makes it more of a challenge for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen, I don't know what I've seen, I forgot, on Omagod channel, he put a short of something freaking out and then exploding. Oh, I forgot what it was. It was a test in.
Oh, I think that was like one of the 11-inch drones that we were testing.
Yeah.
But he had it at his shop, and I think he was just stress testing it.
Yes.
And it just like, I don't know, I think it blew a capacitor or something on the
yeah,
on the PDB or something like that. I don't even know what really happened there.
It looked like it wasn't happy.
yeah, definitely exploded.
It's interesting that you talked about the pressure of the job and that you have to get the shot done, and that you love it. Because I had another Oh, you probably know him. I had Evan on the podcast last year, Actual Tilt.
Okay. Evan Turner.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he said that he was happy in the past to work in this area of like cinema and stuff like this, but he never enjoyed the pressure, and yeah. he preferred doing freestyle and stuff. So he was happy at the time to have a break. But
yeah,
some
I feel
people
like
are just meant for
definitely.
It.
Yeah, I think it takes a certain breed, like, and like I said, it's not just flying a drone. I mean, it's like being on set a certain way and handling things and dealing with people. And there's a lot to it. It's like, it takes a certain breed of person to deal with all that people breathing down your neck kind of thing. And then like having to perform like at the same time.
Yeah.
So
do you think the reputation of drone pilots, whether it is, well, let's say especially FPV drone pilot, has changed now in the commercial world? Like, are people taken a lot more seriously or than before?
I think certain pilots that are out there that are kind of like have done a lot on shows and things and whatever, there's a little bit more respect for like what we're doing, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
But like the kind of newer guys that are coming in, it's kind of like kind of same thing. I think that's just like a thing, industry type of thing though. Like, even with like camera operators, it's like if you have like a veteran camera operator, you know, most likely people aren't going to tell him really much to do, because they know he's like what he could do. Mm-hmm. If it's a new guy, he's probably going to be getting yelled at to, you know, do a bunch of stuff.
Is there any cool stuff that you have worked on that you can talk about? Like, I'm actually curious about stuff you've liked doing. But I don't know.
I mean, my favorite thing still is like, I still work on the show SWAT, the TV show. And so it's like, every time we're filming those shows, it's like little mini Michael Bay scenes in a sense, because we're always blowing stuff up or crazy like car chase scenes or something, you know, a car crashes or, you know, gunfire or something or whatever. Like there's always some like cool little like action to all that stuff. Like a lot of stunt stuff going on, so like anything with that show, I guess, is always like my favorite, just because of all the stunts that they have going on. And then outside of that, I'd say doing stuff with Red Bull is always fun, like, because it usually has to do something specific with like certain Red Bull athletes that are like just doing insane stuff, so
that's true.
So that's always kind of fun too, just watching through the goggles, you know, watching it, but like seeing it through the goggles how insane like these guys really are and stuff like that. That's about it. I mean, everything else is like basics, you know, like car commercial or something. It's like, okay, you know, I mean, we're just following a car around getting different profiles. Or other jobs where you're just getting plate shots. So there's like nothing going on. You're just getting scenery plate shots so they could do CGI for something. Or, you know, filming like another like sort of commercial or something. I don't know. I mean, I've even done like live stuff's kind of fun. Like for a live event, like live broadcasting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's like cool. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, but that's just a lot of like same thing, like just chasing. Like they just want a specific shot. So you're not getting like a... You know, you don't really need an eye to get like a certain angle or anything. You're just chasing. But it's kind of fun because it's live.
Yeah.
So
there's a bit more pressure even.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just kind of, it's just the aspect of it. You're like, oh, this is live right now. That's cool. Like someone's actually like seeing my feed in real time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
And from editing, like I know obviously you shooting, but you don't edit most of this stuff, I assume.
No, yeah, I don't have to worry about any of that, which is nice.
Oh, okay, you like it.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done much of editing and YouTube, any of that stuff in a while.
Yeah.
I throw a little stuff here and there on social, but not like how you were saying in the beginning, like when I was doing it every day. Like,
yes.
I haven't done it. I want to. I'd like to. I'd like to get back into it. And do it nonstop. It's just I have like so many other things like going on that like I'm just too tired.
Yeah,
to
no.
sit and do it, because it's a lot of work. Like, it's a lot of work to like, film and like plan out what you're gonna film and have your own little like mental storyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Get the shots you need and then go to edit everything and then figure out how you want to edit it, voiceover, whatever you want to do, find music.
Yeah.
Audio. All these things. Yeah. That's what I use, audio. Yeah.
I know that's what you use. And actually, you did a nice edit when you did that little table upgrade in your van. It was a good, you know, but that takes time. Yeah. Like, you want to do
something.
Yeah,
so that's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I needed that table and I was like, I'll do a little edit with it. Just because, and all these things are just because like, I'm like, I want to edit, I just want to edit something.
Yes.
Because I haven't done it for so long, just to like keep my like, skills kind of sharp with it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'll just film whatever. Like even that London thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nothing
it was
to
cool.
do with anything, but I'm like, I need to edit something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, it's that's why sometimes I'm thinking,
I know people gripe. They're like, ugh, like I don't want to see it. Like, what is this? You know, where is FPV at or something? But like, you have to understand, it's just like, for me at this point these days, it's me just being like, oh, I have some time today.
Yeah.
To film, because I mean, I could have built that table in like no time. It took me probably an extra like hour on top of it because yeah. I was filming all the angles and everything.
Yeah.
So it's like that adds into like you're just like, I could just build it and have it done in 30 minutes or something. I don't know.
Yes.
Next thing I know, it's 2 hours later because I was setting up the tripod here, locking it off, like, you know, checking the focus and then moving the tripod over here and
yeah,
all that different stuff. It just adds so much more time. And then yeah
but if it gives you happiness, you know, sometimes you should just, it's your YouTube channel, you do what you want on it. And then
I could care less. I throw up whatever if I have something, I just throw it out there.
Yeah.
So one thing you'll probably see a lot more of is YouTube shorts. I think mm-hmm. I'm gonna start putting up. I was having a good run of doing a lot of shorts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they pop up in people's feeds, but like, last month or like whatever, I was putting in a lot of shorts.
Really?
And I was just putting up just a lot of like short clips of stuff that I was doing. And I liked it because it's like, I could make like really quick edits with it, or I could just like cut up one little clip out of like a flight I did or something or whatever.
Mm.
And it doesn't show too much.
I'm on your page now and I realized none of this. I haven't seen any of this, but I see, like, I have the bell.
Yeah,
for
like
your...
when you go to shorts. Yeah.
Yeah. There's one
of
Tomi.
Yeah, I throw stuff up over there. Yeah. But that's why I was like, I kind of liked like the shorts aspect of things.
Yes.
But I was thinking like so a lot of those shorts are just me grabbing a clip.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I was grabbing clips, then now I'm kind of like mentally already like going, oh, I should make a little edits because I have like, I think it's 60 seconds or whatever. And I was like, I could probably make a pretty fun little 60 second edit.
Yeah.
And so that's like, I think that's what I'm going to kind of do now, is just get a bunch of little clips mm-hmm. throughout a day or event or whatever I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Film them normally with my camera. Yeah. Just film them whatever it is, I think vertically or whatever now.
Yeah.
But I'll do all these clips and then I'll make like a little quick edit.
Yeah.
That way I could still like have like a story. That's kind of like what I like about editing, is having like a story to tell.
Yeah.
When you kind of put up a short and it just shows like one little clip of something,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's funny or sometimes it's cool. So that's fine too. But if it like doesn't have a story and you're kind of lost, you're like, next one.
Yeah, exactly.
So if I kind of put a little story on it, I think it'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, and it's probably better these days for... like you obviously very busy with your work, you have your family. Like, I feel like reels or shorts have become, if you start editing, a bit more what every like busy people can do on the side. I feel like these days we can't do YouTube on the side anymore. It's too demanding.
No, you almost like need to hire somebody to do that for you. I think that's why a lot of guys do.
Yeah.
Like now is because it's so time consuming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, to stay competitive with it, it's so time consuming.
Yeah, and the quality has just ramped up so quickly since 2017.
Yeah, you can't just like have a bunch of like just quick cuts throughout your whole thing anymore. You need all these crazy transitions and like J cuts and like
special effects,
crazy
almost.
Audio, special effects and shit, and like titles and this and that, and
yeah,
literally like film,
yeah,
and then edit for like 3 to 4 days,
yeah,
maybe a week,
yeah, if you
or
have
longer,
a
depending on what you're doing, like if you want it as like your job and be competitive with it,
yeah, yeah. So yeah. if you do something else, you know, for a living, it's YouTube is. It's become a job, so you know you can't have two jobs.
Totally, but shorts, I can handle shorts, I think.
Yeah, me too. Well, I think reels on Instagram have become slightly easier to edit as well.
Yeah, and I just don't like Instagram at all.
Oh, really?
No, I just don't. I never have. I don't like their compression. I don't like.
That's true.
I don't like their discoverability on Instagram. I don't like their algorithm.
Okay.
I don't like any of that stuff.
Yeah.
YouTube still has like good discoverability because of like the search engine behind YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It can link it already, like especially with shorts now, it already links to your channel. Mm. So if they did want to see some more long form stuff to get to know you at least,
mm-hmm.
they could go there and get to know the person a little bit more from the long form content.
Yeah.
You're giving
me ideas.
It's just I feel like it's just a better, like, one-stop area for it.
Yeah.
And their algorithm's always going to be better just because it's YouTube. They understand all that stuff better.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody monetizes now, so.
Yeah.
If that's what you're going after, I mean, every social platform pretty much monetizes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, no, I like YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you, on YouTube, when you watch stuff in your free time, do you watch lots of FPV stuff or is it completely different?
It's always been different for me. I never have really watched FPV stuff. Like, stuff pops up in my feed,
mm-hmm.
And I'll watch it and I'll usually comment on it and everything so they know, like, I watch your video or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, like, very rarely. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I watch, like, just the most random other stuff, like people building things and whatever, because you know I've always been a tinkerer with stuff, so
mm-hmm.
my stuff's always like just super random on on YouTube, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it's like watching some podcast or stuff about space.
Mm-hmm.
I watch a lot of stuff about space.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just random things, random things on how people work on stuff, machinery, a lot of mechanical stuff, mm-hmm. Engineering type of videos, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, some FPV, if it pops up, I see something, well, that's cool. I'll watch it.
I'm the same. I know some people that they just live 100%, you know, everything is FPV. And I'm like, I don't know how you do it. I like flying. Yeah. I like doing my thing. And then sometimes I like watching something else. Like recently, I watched a guy building a fancy doghouse in Canada.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, stuff like that is a lot more interesting.
Yes. So. Yeah.
But I don't watch too much FPV.
Yeah. So well, maybe also because now it's a big part of your day. Like if you work into this and you do, like, you know,
I don't even watch like the stuff I do, like the finished product. Like say for like TV shows and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even watch the episode when it comes out to see like I do once in a while if it's something we really try different, I'll watch it to see what the editors actually ended up using.
Yeah.
So I can know next time around that that's what they kind of liked.
Yes.
So I use it as, say, like an educational purpose type of thing.
Yeah.
But as for like, actually watching the show, I don't even watch the shows.
Yeah. Also,
like, eh.
Is there a big time delay between when you shoot something and then when it's actually released?
That doesn't help. Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you're like, I shot that.
The TV show is pretty quick, though.
TV
shows is like a couple weeks turnaround usually.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
So they film in 2 weeks it's ready on.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's quick.
They don't mess around. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. They just shoot because they're filming seasons. So it's like, you know, they're shooting episodes ahead of time and then, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Coming out with it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I was asking you about the editing because I'm like, I wonder if sometimes you had a shot that you really liked and you're like, oh, is it going to make the cut? Is it, you know?
Oh, all the time. I have some and I'm like, they didn't use any of that like cool stuff. That's the one they picked out of all that. Like,
yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. And you're like, you wish you could have it and make it for your own. Like, and I feel that's how I would feel myself. I'd be like, oh, I would have cut it this way, you know?
Yeah. But then, after a while, you just realize, like, it's just your job and you get paid just to go out there. And you're like, you know, I go out there, I show up.
Yeah.
I get paid. It's like you clock in, you clock out.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yes. It's hard to be a creative
It's
sometimes.
Like whatever they want to use, it's whatever they want to use. Yeah, it's hard to be a creative in the beginning and you're like, dude, really?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like that shot, like where I went through the trees and revealed and everything, you didn't use that. But then you realize like they probably wanted to, but it was too long of a cut. So they had to like use a shorter cut.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Like you start to get it.
But. Yeah. There are things sometimes now when I see FPV in movies. I watched Ambulance recently, and there were good FPV takes, and I felt like they were cut too short. But I'm like, it makes sense, because if you're not into FPV, you're just random guy. You want to watch the movie.
Yeah, it you don't want to see all that.
Yeah, it needs to be dynamic. But me, I was like, why did you cut it? I wanted to see more.
Yeah, because then it gets like overplayed, you know?
Yes.
But yeah, I don't want to cut you too short here, but I probably only have like 5 more minutes.
Oh, that's okay. I think we've talked about...
I gotta get running here.
No worries. I know you're busy, and I know is your family all right? I follow your wife on
you know
Instagram,
what?
So I know everything.
We're
actually
all good now. We all had the flu last week.
Oh shit!
And the week before, should I say? It ran its course.
Yeah, I saw that.
But
she was like,
"That's why you still hear me coughing every now and then."
Yes.
But that was the only thing. I mean, we're good.
Yeah, cool. Well, say hi from me. And like you say, I regularly tell your wife that if she wants to visit, she's welcome in Melbourne.
Yeah.
I know it's a big trip, but I'm trying to invite everybody. Trip. You know, every time I have a podcast, I'm like, come over.
I know me and Steele are always talking about doing some sort of ethics trip and getting people together to do some like FPV trip or something.
That would be cool, and I'd be happy.
We gotta figure that out one of these days. We talk about it like all the time.
Okay.
So.
Well, if I can be of any help, let me know. But no, that's pretty much everything I wanted to talk about. Thanks so much for joining today. And is there anything else you want to add before you leave? Like, we follow you.
I would just say I got my new motors coming out in a couple weeks.
Yep.
I'll blast that out. People will know, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah.
I don't know when we're gonna do our next podcast.
Yeah.
Team Failsafe one.
Team
I have no idea. We've all been traveling a lot.
Yeah.
Doing stuff. We try and get it in when we can. Mm-hmm. I have no
date.
No info. No info on that whatsoever.
That's okay.
On podcast.
Well, congrats on the release of the motors. I'll keep an eye out as well. Is it going to be on the ethics website mainly, and then
it'll be on the ethics website, TBS's website, and then whatever retailers buy them. Like usually we have GetFPV, Pyrodrone buys quite a bit.
Okay.
I know there's some international retailers that buy our stuff too.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it'll be wherever.
Cool.
Never ethics stuff always is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. We're looking forward to this, and and thanks again for joining. It was great to be able to talk to you.
No problem.
And thanks.
We can do a part two.
Yeah, we'll do a part two. Yeah, for sure. When you're in Australia.
There you go.
Well, thanks everyone for joining today and for listening. If you like the podcast, just, you know, give us a rating a little bit. That's always helpful. Or just share it with your friends. And we'll see you soon in about 2 weeks again. Have fun and happy flying. Bye-bye.